Good morning. Good to see you guys. It's good to be with you this morning. If you are new to Evergreen or haven't seen me before, my name is Phil, and I'm pastor of student ministries here at Evergreen. And while Randy is out of town getting some rest, I have the privilege of being with you this morning. So you never know when you step into situations like this, if you get to pick up where you are in a series, or if you get to come up with something entirely new, which is a lot harder. And this week we're going to be just moving right along in the Making Room series, and I'm excited for that. It's a great week. We're going to have an opportunity not only to talk about making room for community, but also to take an act of obedience in that as we share in communion together. So if you'd open your Bibles as we begin, we'll be in the book of Acts chapter 4 this morning. And as we do, I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, you meet us right where we are. And for some of us, that means, God, right now you're meeting us in a very difficult place. God, I confess a week that I never learned about in college or seminary. I confess a week that has been difficult and has had its share of challenges. And I know there are many out here this morning who share that same experience and worse. And for others of us, Lord, we are absolutely enjoying life and celebrating summer and all the things that you have given them. And I pray that whatever we're in, whether it's the calm or the storm, we would realize you are with us. And that as a faith community, you give us all unique seasons. Not so that we might be blessed, but so that you might be blessed and those in our faith community might be blessed through your giving to us. So I pray now that as we open your word and we look at what the just earliest believers were characterized by, you would challenge us to do the same. It's in your son Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we are in Acts chapter 4, and we will be looking at verses 32 through 37 this morning as we look at making room really for spiritual community. But before we go there, I want to just kind of by a show of hands, who is a member at Costco? Man, that's crazy. I remember the first time I went to Costco, I wasn't a member yet. And so, you know, you walk in and they like label you that you're not a member. And if you're going to buy something, any discount you basically waive because you pay some surcharge as a non-member. And you're walking through the store and everything is kind of like member price, member this, member that. And in addition to that, you have the absolutely ridiculous crowds all around you of people that you have like the two extremes, the people that couldn't care less when they leave the store. Like I think there may be a cop for them somewhere in the back that they stay there, you know, like they just never leave. So they're going as slow as humanly possible and taking up the whole aisle. You know what I'm talking about? And then you have the other group of people probably confessing that I'm one of them, that's trying to get in there and get out as soon as possible, as though there's quicksand in the floor, and if you stay too long, you will never leave. So eventually, we got our Costco membership, and then you go back in, you show them your little card, no questions asked, you walk in, you get all the things that you need, you go pay for them, and you have, you know, toilet paper to last you 6 years, and, you know, ketchup that will last you seven. And it's interesting to me the distinction between going to Costco and being a member at Costco. The difference between going and belonging. And I think that as we talk about spiritual community and really our community here at Evergreen, we have to understand that distinction as well. That lots of us go to church, but how many of us belong? How many of us in the difficult times understand that this is the place for us? And Evergreen has a percentage of people that understand that way more than most churches, because you guys have belonged in some really difficult places. But as we've come into this space, into this new ministry tool over the course of the last 7 months or so, we find ourselves now with lots of new faces. And we're having to recast out this understanding that community, spiritual community, takes work. This belonging is going to be met with some really difficult challenges. And if we're okay with the standard of going, eventually you'll be gone. because something difficult will come, some challenge will come before you, and it will be easier to move on than to stay. And so as we look at what the earliest of believers did, I think it's really important for us to understand that as a prerequisite for this, the challenge that we find in Scripture is that we are not supposed to just go to a church. We're not supposed to just attend. We're supposed to belong. And so as we talk about this text, I would challenge you to just begin a conversation with the Lord in your own heart as to where you and your family are with Evergreen, and whether or not you go here or you belong here. I say this phrase a lot. We're never following leadership until we're going a different direction than we'd go on our own. Until that point, we're just walking together, right? And that so happens in churches. We go, we attend, and then all of a sudden a direction is taken, and we never really belonged, we never really trusted, we never submitted to leadership, and so we just go somewhere else that we're not willing to follow the leadership of. They just happen to be going the same direction we are. So all that is a foreword to the text that we're looking at this morning. If you'd open with me to Acts chapter 4, we'll be reading from 32 to 37 together. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is a really incredible passage that seems to describe this utopia that you and I can't imagine, right? I mean, this is really unique. And much like Paul does, we see Luke here lending from some of the tradition of the times. He is actually making an appeal to an understanding that they would have had to this utopian spiritual society, except rather than it being some mythical possibility, it's a reality that they shared. Having left for most of them their family, which now as mostly converted Jews had abandoned them, having left their trade in many cases, some of them, just as a situation of life, were in great need. But as a community, we have to realize first and foremost what community isn't. And before we jump straight into that text, I want to just give a few definitions of what community is not. Community is not a country club. And I think a lot of us, from time to time, can view it that way, especially as we get to a place where we're not just attending, but we're not quite belonging yet, and we get lots of privilege associated with going and being a part of things and maybe serving in some area, but all of a sudden there is this country club exclusivity to it. That you're okay with people coming in. I mean, you want more numbers, but you don't really want to give out a piece of what you're doing. You don't want to share the load of responsibility that you have. You don't want to give up the privilege that you feel in any one particular area. You have things that you want to do. You don't really want to see that task grow. You don't really want to see your service to God change. And you don't particularly want to equip other people to do it because you're satisfied just the way that it is. This could be specific events that you've had your hands in over the course of the year, and as we grow, things change and needs are different, and you have to find yourself, you find yourself having to say, am I going to be soft enough that God can change me, that I can make an adjustment? Am I going to be willing to allow God that? We also have the opportunity to say, you know what, I'll bail. I won't do this. I won't help with this. I won't be a part of this. I won't go to this anymore. Or you could say, I'll do it the exact same way that I did. And it'll stunt the growth of that thing or kill it. And we'll all just create this little cocoon country club feel. That is not community. Community is not, I heard a pastor say this phrase recently and I love it. Community is not adult daycare. Right? Like where you come every week or you come a couple times a week and there are no expectations on you and there's always coffee ready for you and no one's going to really challenge you, and if you get uncomfortable, just raise your hand and we'll send you away. And if, you know, that's not this. That'd be a waste of all of our time. At the end of a year of daycare, if you ask a child, what did you learn this year? I mean, unless you're including learning how to drink out of a Capri Sun packet, there's not a lot of information being disseminated. The primary task is to just keep your child alive. Our primary task is not to just keep you alive at Evergreen. It's that you grow and thrive spiritually. And so if you and me fall into this pit where we think that community is daycare, we get to just show up, no change ever, we're in a bad place. And you're probably saying, Phil, that's not true. I would never think that. That's ridiculous. But maybe it's this way for you. If I were to ask you individually to look to the person next to you and tell them the top three things that God is working on in your life right now, tangibly, not like my attitude, my heart, and my feelings. No, I mean really, three real things. You know, like my relationship with my wife. I'm really lashing out at her after work, and I'm pouring things into that relationship that shouldn't be there. I need to spend more time with my kids. I probably need to take a day, a week, and just spend that evening with them. And in my own personal finances, I'm not reflecting that I love God with how much I'm giving, and I'm sabotaging our own personal budget because of frivolous spending over here. If you can't come up with three things that God is doing in your life, this is daycare for you. If God's not working on anything, that he's not working on anything. I mean, if you're not aware of God's work in your life, you need to ask whether or not you have him in your life. And if this community is something you belong to or something you just go to. Community is not fast food. Burger King came up with that phrase a few years ago that's, you know, kind of epitomized what fast food is, right? Have it your way. That is not community. Trust me. You don't come in and say, all right, here's the things that we need to do, and here's the different things that we need to change. And certainly we all want to be able to have a voice. We all want input. But if every single one of us got everything that we wanted, we wouldn't be able to survive as a community. Because what we want is not what we need. And what we want definitely is not usually what other people need. Community is not fast food. And lastly, community is not a boutique store. I go into the mall now and I look around and there's no, I mean, like the Macy's kind of places, they're really kind of dying out. More now you have like these boutique stores that sell specific things to a specific niche. You go there for that item, for that style, for that segment. And then when you've got that thing, you leave. If they don't have what you want, you leave. If you see something over there that's attractive, you just bounce from here to here. If next week you want to go back over here, you bounce from there to there. Community is not that. I know many of us that have a Bible study at Evergreen. We attend church at Evergreen. But we also go to this church over here. We send our kids to that church over there. We're a part of a group at this church over here. We can't survive as a community that way. Because what happens is you spread out the real you. They might see a piece of you over here, and we might see a piece of you here, and they might see a piece of you over there. But if you're not sojourning, if you're not journeying with a community, as the New Testament assumes, then no one has a real picture of the real you. No one has a complete picture of who you really are. And the amount of time and investment that it takes for us to figure out as a community who each other are, you're just short-circuiting that if you don't allow that time to take place in a way that's focused. So community is not a boutique store. It's not, as another pastor would say, an ecclesiological buffet. You don't just get to go and pick the different items that you want. You find a group of people that love the Lord. You find a place that teaches from God's word. You find people that are passionate about growing in Him, and you stick it out. Because if you're looking for the perfect church, you're always going to be looking. You'll never grow. You'll never be a part positively of something else. They'll only ever see a segment of you. And I'm sensitive to a few of us who are involved in other ministries because, frankly, we don't have that ministry here. You need a recovery group. You need something that's going to help you get through a specific season of your life. And there are other avenues for you to do that. And I'm not the guy that's like going to start, you know, picking up the phone and calling people that I know are involved in other churches and say, stop it. You know, that's not me at all. But what I would say is, as a church, as we continue to grow over the course of the next year, don't be satisfied with this bifurcation of community living that you're doing right now. If you're part of a recovery group and we get something like that started at Evergreen, become a part of that. If you're part of a great Bible study that you love and we get something started here, do that instead. If this is your church home, I would really, really encourage you to be a part of that. And I felt really convicted this week. I've really wanted to throw it off and not say this, but I just can't run away from it. We have a lot of new faces from other churches. And that's fine. We're glad you're here. But if you are going to that church and now you're going to this church, and then in 6 months when the new church smell wears off, you want to go to another church, if there are unresolved issues for you at your previous church, I would really encourage you to go resolve those. For some of us, it may be that God's will is for us to go back to the church that really we need to be at. For others, it's that we need to resolve that now Evergreen is our community, that we belong here. And we need to be able to take the tangible steps moving forward that are going to distinguish us from just attending to belonging. So just take that for however you need to take it. Community is not those things. I didn't have to do this, but James did. I had pre-ordered the new iPhone, and James had not. And so the day that it was being released, he had to camp out that night to get one. And so we had a few guys together, and I camped out with them, and it was ridiculous. I mean, just, we're outside, we're on lawn chairs, it's raining. It was, when we went to QFC at like 12:30 at night and got food that I never should have eaten that late. It was awful. But at the same time, it was amazing because, you know, you get to have conversations with people you never would, and it's fun and exciting, and you get to be with other nerds that you can talk about tech stuff. And I was actually the first one in because I had pre-ordered mine, so they opened the store 2 hours early. Like, I should have shown up at 6:55, and I would have been fine. But so I was the first one into the store at 7 o'clock. And as soon as I walked into the store, they have this clipboard that has my name on it, and the lady had, like, briefed everyone in the store of what my name was. And I walk in, and, like, in unison, all 45 AT&T employees are like, "Hi, Phil." It's kind of messed up, guys. I don't know any of you. Let's go ahead and keep that to ourselves. And then on my way out, they're all, like, cheering, like, "Yeah, Phil." I'm like, seriously, stop. And all around society, business has decided that if they can even just make artificial community, if they can make you feel like they care about you, that's better than nothing, right? And we go to places and we're a part of things that we can immediately tell it's a fake sense of community. One of the things that I appreciate about Evergreen is that when someone has a conversation with you, it's not because they're supposed to. It's because they want to. We want to get to know each other. We want to grow together. But I would just ask you to keep your radar on all around life. Because if you sense that artificial community, that fake community, it's because they want something selfishly from you. AT&T wanted a lot of money from me, and they got it. We have to be careful about that in our lives, not just with businesses, not just with companies, but with people. We have to realize that when we open ourselves up, we make ourselves vulnerable, and we need to make a decision about who we're going to do that with and where we're going to do that. So that's what community isn't. What is community? We'll pick up in verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. We see that community is a common bond. Community has this relationship with Jesus central. One of the challenges that we experience in church life is that so quickly it can become about barbecues and events, activities, and we can so quickly lose the focus on why we're doing any of it. Just chapters before this, thousands of people listened to Peter preach and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit had come down at Pentecost and indwelled believers. And now we see ministry marked by this new, incredible common bond. And for you and for me, do we see that? Do we understand that? Do we have that bond? In our home groups, are we talking about Jesus, or do we never get there? In our Bible studies, is it about some sort of intellectual ascension, or is it about life change? This bond that we have, the very foundation of our community, is Jesus Christ. And if we're going to make room for community, we need to make room for those conversations. And they'll be awkward. They'll be challenging. And they have to start in your home. They have to start with you personally. We had those discussion guides available, and I'd really encourage you to keep using those. It's a great way to create community in your home. And then as you do that, it should be a natural overflow into your spiritual community here at Evergreen. I hope you find that to be the case. And there are some incredible results of this community. We see here in verse 32 that the idea for the apostles and the disciples and the early believers is they understand true stewardship. That we own nothing. We've all heard the kind of old phrase, you never see a U-Haul being towed by a hearse. You don't take any of it with you. It's not ours. It's been apportioned to us to be stewards over while we're here. I think you have to look at your own life and say, is my relationship with Jesus so powerful that that thing that is my prized possession, that thing that is number one in my life, I realize isn't mine? That if God takes it away tomorrow, I have nothing to be sorry over, it's His. And that was the very foundation of why their community worked. Because they understood that ownership is not a word for believers. The word for us is stewardship. We don't own, we don't rent, we don't lease. We're borrowing it. And how are we funneling that back to the community? How are we blessing others with what God has given us? How are we wisely stewarding all that God has given in relationships, in community, in finance? Community is understanding stewardship. And then this divine unity that's talked about is really incredibly important for a community. It's really important for us to understand as a community that if we don't have unity, not uniformity, but unity in Christ, we will always have a huge gossip problem. We will always have a huge leadership challenge. You get those anyway, but if we don't have unity around Jesus, not unity around a building, not unity around a program, not unity around an activity, unity around Jesus Christ, then our unity is worldly. It will fracture. If it's around Jesus, then we have divine power through unity to do His work, and we'll see that here. Not only do we have a common bond, we have a common mission. We see it in verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. and great grace was upon them all. The apostles were going out and they were literally sharing the fact that Jesus lived a life marked by self-sacrificial service to all of humanity, died for us, and then rose from the dead. And as a result of that communication, lots of people, the Bible tells us numbers were being added to their group every single day. I don't think it's a typo. I don't think they mean every Sunday. Every day. That means that the ministry was happening Sunday to Sunday. That means it happened in workplaces. That means it happened in the marketplace. That means it happened in homes. It happened everywhere. Community goes beyond right here. If we're going to live one life, if we're going to be the same person here that we are at home, that we are at work, that we are at this sporting event, that we are with these friends, that we are at this home group, we have to realize that ministry and community never ceases. And if we have a common mission, our mission is for Jesus, not for behavioral modification, not for adult daycare, not for niche stores of faith, but for the gospel. Our common mission is important because it gives grace to all of us. As we are on mission for God, we have to understand that the grace that we receive is not because we're so strong or because we're so great, but because God is blessing what we're doing. This last week, students were on a missions trip in Chewila, Eastern Washington. And it was just incredible the amount of work that these kids did. We took a team of 19 and they rehabbed an entire skate park, resurfaced it, stained it, did some light construction. We did some water seal on like all the park benches, it seemed like, in the state. It was a ton of work. And then after that, we would go and be involved with the community. We had a team that took brownies to, you know, like the fire station and the city center. And then at night, we ran a sports camp for 5 through 10-year-olds. And then last night, we did a community barbecue. And it was as busy as it sounds. And these kids were incredible. I mean, students that at the beginning of the week, if I asked them to take an extra bag inside, the attitude could have been, although not verbalized, that's not my bag. At the end of the week, they were coming back to me and saying, Phil, what else needs to be done? You got great kids, but that's not them. That's the Holy Spirit. And it was exciting to see them focused for a week on serving God and see God meet us where we were and empower us to do ministry. And I wonder, we've been doing like a Facebook thing back and forth the whole team this week. What would happen if we took that intensity, that passion, that focus, and we did it here? What if we did that as a church? It's an exciting season because we get to see students go off to camps and we get to see them have these incredible spiritual opportunities of focus, but then they come back to the real world. And too often the community they come back to is not one in which they have the same experience. How can we build our community so that as a group we're experiencing God's power and grace on mission for Him? Not only do we know now what community is, we have to understand what community means. And I'm going to read 34 through 37 for the sake of time, and then we'll come back through the 2 points. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement. A Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We see here that community has ramifications. Community has consequences, both for those that have and for those that have not. And this has very rarely been as relevant for us as it is today. Because we have lots of folks that have lots of needs. We have lots of folks that have lots of means. And so with that, we have shared resources. It says that no one was in need. Now, I think there's 2 reasons for that. One is they actually knew each other. You know, like you guys have never been to my place. I've probably never been to your place. But I hope the community of believers that you have formed, maybe your home group, maybe a group of people here at Evergreen that you've gotten close to, I hope you've been to each other's houses. I hope you've seen how each other lives. I hope you've seen how each other does family. I mean, most of you probably by this point know I'm a picky eater and you haven't even eaten with me. We need to get to know each other. And as we do that, needs will become, they'll become obvious. I've been a part of several things over the course of the last year where there's been this need and the individual doesn't want to make it known, but they are a known person. And their need is known. And so folks just step up and they provide. And it's awesome. And it's a huge blessing to that family, and it's a great mark of community. Secondly, I think that we have a responsibility when we are in need to share that. We live in a community where we will do everything that we can to make sure that no one thinks we actually have any needs. But what we have to understand is when one needs, all of us need. We have shared resources, but we have shared needs. And I think that it's important to couple that with the reality that if somebody's a sluggard, they're not looking for work, they're out of work, they're, you know, I think of some of our college students living, you know, in their mom's basement playing video games. They'll get a job eventually. Paul says to those guys, you don't work, you don't eat. But for those of us struggling, those of us in a difficult place, those of us trying to make sense of the economy, those of us finding ourselves destitute and in need, we have to let that need be known. And as a community, we have to circle around those needs because they're shared. If we're going to be a real community and we're going to have real relationships, we have to understand that our resources are God's resources and that our needs are shared needs. It's not ours to hold on to and watch someone suffer. If we can help, we should. As we think about shared needs, I don't know, I think for the last 7 months, God has been working on my heart more than ever about my own personal generosity. Not generosity like give more money, although that's part of it. Generosity like more of everything, more time, more availability. That when someone asks me something, I really want to get to a place where in my heart I want to say yes. And I think as a community, we have to all move in that direction. We have to become more generous in the community of faith that God's given us. I have this card for when I go to Starbucks. It's a gold card. I mean, it's not really gold. It's got like a gold coffee cup, and it's a black card. And when I go into Starbucks, I give them the card, and they give me some percentage off. And it's pretty cool. It costs some amount per year. And when I go into a normal Starbucks, it doesn't matter that I have this card. Great, you have a card. Here's your discount. And then, but when I go into this Starbucks, you know, like my Starbucks, Evergreen North probably is what we should call it. When I go into that Starbucks, it doesn't matter that I have the gold card. I mean, I belong there, dude. You know, like, hey, Phil. Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? Cool haircut. And there is this relationship that's been formed. If I walk into another Starbucks, even with a gold card, and I start yelling at people, and I mean, it's not good. Horrible testimony. But I'm going to walk out of there. They don't know who I am. They don't care. But if I walked into this Starbucks with the wrong attitude, the wrong heart, I've damaged relationships. And I've left a poor testimony. As a community, we need to understand that the relationships that we tarnish need to be repaired. The grudges that we hold against one another need to be released. If we're going to grow as a community and move in this direction, we need to do it this way. I'm going to pray, and we're going to begin the process of communion this morning. And here we're going to do it a little differently. We do this upstairs, and if it just doesn't work for you, just student pastor, no big deal. But I really hope that you'll just go out on a little bit of a limb with me, because I think it could be a really great opportunity for us if you'll let me. I'm going to have Patrick come up, and he's going to play through a song, and we'll sing it together. And then he's going to play through that song again, and you're going to clear your plate, so to speak. Keep a short account with the Lord. Maybe you've had a wrong attitude this week. Maybe you've had deceit in your heart towards members in your family, people at work, you've taken shortcuts you know you shouldn't, and you need to clear that up with God. And that opportunity will be available to you. And then Patrick's going to play through it again, and I'm going to have all of us stand. This is where it gets crazy. I'm going to have you actually go to someone else in this room that you might have a personal problem or challenge with. You harbor bitterness, you have a grudge, you have unforgiveness in your life with that person, any issue that you have. And you're going to say to them, I'm sorry. I'm going to let it go. For the sake of the community, please forgive me for my unforgiveness. Forgive me for this grudge. Let's make this right. And you will have immediately taken a step in community with that person that it doesn't matter how many times you just show up on Sunday. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. It will never connect in a belonging way like that moment will. So I hope you're willing to kind of go out on that limb with me. Before we take communion, and after that I'll direct you to the tables to receive communion when you're ready, and you can just take it as you receive it. But I hope that you'll really take this seriously. The Bible says if you don't, God might kill you. So let's sing together. I just want you to take a minute and spend that moment with God. Whatever posture will gain focus, cleanse your life this week. Your relational palate with God gets so muddied in our life. We put so many things in the way. We get so distracted. We allow work to come and become ultimate. We allow relationships with people to overshadow God's provision in our life. We so often allow finances to be the litmus test for how we're doing spiritually. I just want to give you the opportunity to confess, repent, get right with the Lord right now.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sign.
I just want you to go ahead and stand up. We're just going to go through it a couple more times, and literally, if you have just something to say to somebody, just to clear up a relationship, build community, enhance what we're doing here, before you remember Christ's sacrifice for you, I would beg you, take it seriously. I know it's uncomfortable and awkward, but remember the length to which our Savior was willing to go to save your life. I think it's reasonable that you and I might be put out this much to resolve relationships in this community so that we might build, grow, and enhance what God is doing in our midst. Maybe it's your spouse next to you. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your sibling. Maybe it's someone down the aisle. Just take a minute. As you feel ready, as you feel it appropriate, there's a table over to my right, there's a table in the back, and there's a table up here. As you feel that your time with the Lord has yielded you a heart that has no grievances against Him, you have confessed, and you have resolved relationship with those in our midst, I would invite you to come as you're ready. Take the elements and remember Christ's sacrifice for you. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and I just ask that as we're leaving, if you want to kind of do so in a more subdued way, if you've got something that God is working on in your heart or in your family, if there's a relationship that you still need to seek out, I would just ask that you have the time to do that. Let's take this time and make it special. Community will come from moments that we take seriously that would otherwise be ordinary. It's by taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary, and it's your choice. It's your opportunity right now to make a relationship real. And and at Evergreen if we're going to grow, and we're going to grow deep and wide. This is how we're going to do it. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory for this morning and for this week. God, I think of all the different things that have happened in all the different ways that you have gripped us and challenged us, that you have grown us as a community. And as we've taken your body, we've remembered your body through the bread and remembered your blood through the juice this morning. We remember what you did for us, and we ask that it would make a difference, that our lives would be marked by that sacrifice, and that our community would have a unity because of our bond in you. I pray for this time that no one's minds would just check out, that no one would just flip the switch to leave and get off to the car, get to the kids. But if you're working on people's hearts right now, God, I pray that you would grip them, challenge them, change them to be more like you. Help our weeks to be marked by your community for us. It's in your Son Christ's name, of which we have an incredible bond. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.